on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Now the green light switched on. Ready.
With the latest news, interviews and tips from kennels and courses around the country.
Fernando Bale came out of the machine, Hammond.
Welcome to Going Greyhounds.
Well, as I say, it's been a massive week in greyhound racing. Dave Carlson joins us now. Morning, Dave.
Good morning, Cozzy. I tell you what, I was in Melbourne on Friday night. And it was great to be in the Victorian capital. Everywhere from Ackland Street, the beautiful downtown Springvale was buzzing.
Yeah, the Cup, the Melbourne Cup was on. It was just fantastic, wasn't it?
Indeed. I'm certainly still buzzing from Friday night's TAB Melbourne Cup at Sandown and Aston DB's breakthrough group win. His trainer, Shona Thompson, is going to be with us in just a second. The other Sandown feature was the Group 1 Bold Trees, and Fanta Bale fully franked her status as an absolute superstar, winning and becoming only the third greyhound in history to win $1 million in prize money. And her trainer, Robbie Britton, is going to be joining us on the show too. So we've got a big one lined up, Coz.
Yeah, the Cup, any surprises?
No, not in terms of, I thought Aston DB would win. I thought he was boxed beautifully. And the big 36-kilo beast, he pushed through at that first turn when there was a bit of trouble that was expected. And he burst straight to the lead, passing the catching pen. And it was all over Red Rover, Cozzy, nice and early.
Yeah, too right. Shona Thompson's with you now.
Indeed. Shona is with us. Brad Adams are going to be joining us too from Richmond about the Richmond Riches. Kel Watt, the ACT Greyhound spokesman, about today's big protest rally in Canberra. And Tony Appap too, the trainer of Outside Pass, who took out the Ipswich Gold Cup on Saturday night. But first up, as I mentioned, I was fortunate to be on track with James Vandermart at Sandown Park in Melbourne on Friday night for the Group 1 TAB Melbourne Cup. Here's Brendan Delaney's call.
Aston DB began well. Kuda Mayhem was slow and uphill. Jewel will spear across and have the lead from Roar Ability. Aston DB threw on the rail in a tightly packed field. Aston DB got the run and took the lead. Kuda Mayhem through to second from Roar Ability. Chase and Crackers deeper out, then Strike Alight. Further back to Bewildering Aston Miley and last uphill Jill. Aston DB in front. He's 4 lengths clear of Kuda Mayhem. Chase and Crackers, the favourite, swung for home clear. It's Aston DB's TAB Melbourne Cup. He beat Chase and Crackers, Kuda Mayhem and Bewildering. Roar Ability was next.
Yeah, Aston DB started favourite from box one. Did not disappoint, scoring by 3.5 lengths in the world's richest greyhound race in a time of 29 and 36. His jubilant trainer, Shona Thompson, has been kind enough to give us her time this morning. Shona, good morning and congratulations again. Have you come back down to earth yet?
Good morning, Dave. Yeah, I think it's actually starting to sink in. It was all a bit of a blur on Friday night, but I'll never get sick of listening to Brendan's call, that's for sure.
Well, on our speed maps, there was always going to be plenty of early speed and potential trouble from the squeeze boxes with Aston DB ready to pounce just behind them at the first turn, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, no, you're right. It did sort of look like that's how it would play out on paper, and that's how I'd played it out in my head about 1,000 times leading up to the race, that, you know, he would hold his spot on the fence, and I thought there might be a little bit of trouble and that he would just, yeah, hold his spot and push through, and that's exactly what he did.
Well, he'd been placed so many times at group level, including the Sky Racing Top Gun and the Adelaide Cup, so he really deserved his victory, Shona, especially in the world's richest race.
He did. The dog deserved the victory, and I don't think anyone deserved it more than his owner, Ray Border. Ray's been, you know, involved in dogs for many, many years, and has had some really good dogs along the way, and you know, maybe none as good as this dog. He, you know, he's sort of done what Ray was hoping to achieve for about the last 45 years, won a Melbourne Cup.
Yeah, well, Aston DB, a son of Barsha Bale and Aston Elm, Ray Border, the owner, he owns Macro Meats, and due to work commitments in South Australia, Shona, unfortunately, he couldn't be on track.
No, it was unfortunate. I spoke to Ray early last week just to find out if him and his wife, Narelle, would be, you know, well, basically to find out how many people they'd be bringing over for dinner. And, yeah, he let me know that he wouldn't be able to make it. So he'll be over next week and we'll definitely be catching up and celebrating then.
Well, he says he wants Aston DB to keep on racing ahead of a stud career. So that must be extra exciting for you.
Yeah, Ray and I have, you know, any decisions like that, we've got fantastic owners and we, you know, discuss them and make the decisions together. And, you know, the dog isn't an old dog. He's still got plenty of racing in him. He loves to race. He's, you know, it's what he does. So, yeah, no, he'll continue to race on.
And his confidence has really been soaring this spring.
It has, yeah. the dog's he's learnt to race. He's learnt to, you know, become a race dog. He, I think I've said to you last week, we pre-trained him here and, you know, knew he had ability from day one. But, you know, he was still a bit of a puppy and it took him time. He's 36 kilos, so it took him time to learn to race, but he's definitely worked it all out now.
Shona, are the Ballarat Cup heats this Saturday night his next assignment?
Yeah, that's the plan. He pulled up really, really good after Friday night. So, yeah, the plan is to go to Ballarat on Saturday with him.
Aston DB's Tab Melbourne Cup was part of a winning treble for you on Friday night. And you also trained a double at the Meadows on Saturday night. So that is testament to your hard work. Look, you've got a young family to raise, Shona, so it really is a big effort.
It is. You know, it hasn't been easy. And I think my emotion showed that on Friday night, that, you know, you sort of try and hold it all in. But, you know, it isn't easy. I mean, I've got an older son who is 20 who, you know, he's a jockey, so the nerves involved with having any parent that's got a son or daughter who's a jockey would understand the nerves involved with that. And then, you know, my youngest is 4, so she's at kinder and then and 2 at school in between. So, yeah, it's a full-time job with them, and they're great help with the dogs. And it all just sort of fits together. We're pretty lucky.
Most of the kids were there on Friday night, but poor old Ben, he was held up in running and couldn't get there.
Yeah, Ben rode at Wodonga on Friday and decided that he would fly to Wodonga so that he'd be back in time, you know, to make it to the track on Friday night. So, yeah, that was the plan, but the electrical storm hit and he got stuck on the tarmac at Tullabarine and didn't make it there for the race. But I had Luke and Holly there with me. Sophie was at home watching on the TV. So, you know, it was just great to have Luke and Holly there. Obviously, it would have been fantastic if Ben had been able to make it.
And it's an even bigger family affair. Shona, your dad, Ronnie Hood, former secretary manager at Ballarat, and Lou, a driver at the Meadows, and your stepmum, Marg Long, who's the current general manager at the Meadows. They must have been as proud as punch too.
Yeah, I think I'd just composed myself at the presentation after walking back to Luke and Holly, who were both as emotional as I was, and I just sort of got myself together and then looked down at the fence and saw my dad and my stepmom standing there, and they were both pretty emotional too. It got me going again. So, yeah, I think you know, the whole family, like my sisters and my brother, and I think, the whole family were very excited and very proud.
Your other cup runner, Bewildering, ran a great race too, Shona, for 4th after drawing pretty awkwardly in the 6.
He did. I was absolutely rapt with him. When I sort of saw Aston DB, you know, taking the lead through the catching pen, I straight away looked back to see where he was, saw him back in the field, and, back to sort of Aston DB just to sort of look who was 2nd and 3rd, and then looking back to him again. And I saw him coming and, you know, having watched the replay many times since Friday night, he was extremely unlucky not to run a place. He's a super dog, and, you know, both dogs will go to stud once their racing careers are finished. They're both very well bred and both superstars in their own right.
Well, you had some other excellent weekend winners out of range and Poke the Bear on Friday night, at the Meadows on Saturday night, Peter Dale and Flying Sparkles. And you own some nice young chasers who are being trained in Tassie by Mick Stringer, Shona. You've got Styles and Hemsworth, and they're litter brothers to the great chase winner Despacito.
Yeah, they're going brilliantly. We own their mum, Elle Brooklyn, who was a sensational race bitch that we trained back in her race career, and Black Magic Opal pups. So, yeah, we were pretty excited about this litter, and they've gone on to do the sister actually won last Thursday night at Hobart as well. So, they're doing really, really well, and I'm wrapped, you know, for Mick Stringer. He's been fantastic with any dogs that I've sent over there, and, you know, just treats them like they're his and looks after them, and, yeah, couldn't be happier with how that litter are coming along.
Well, Shona, congratulations on the win in the Melbourne Cup, and as always, to you and Jason, thanks so much for giving me your time, and thank you for being on Going Greyhounds this morning.
No worries at all, Dave. Thank you very much.
Good on you, Shona. Shona Thompson, Jubilate. Hard worker, the entire kennel, the entire family, very, very hard workers, and hats off to them on taking out the big one. And Ray Border, I'm sure the celebrations are continuing for the owner. Well, Friday night's other Group 1 feature at Sandown was the Bold Trees, and superstar Fanta Bale started favourite from box 3.
Fanta Bale began fast. Petunia Manelli left running and through in the centre. Champagne Sally fourth onto the first turn was Zipping Lady. 2.5 lengths away, Packy keeping from Ebby Ripper. Then Moment to Jive and Rockoon is last of all with a round to go in the Bold Trees. Petunia Manelli is the leader. Fanta Bale has some room on the inside. Champagne Sally a length off in third and fourth. Packy keeping. Then Zipping Lady followed by Moment to Jive, Ebby Ripper and Raccoon. But Fanta Bale, the champ, she went to the lead off the back. She's 3 lengths in front of Packy keeping running on. Then Petunia Manelli, Zipping Lady next. Raccoon is well back. Around the turn, it's Fanta Bale in front. Packy keeping tries hard. The third millionaire, Fanta Bale. She won the Bold Tree. She beat Packy keeping and Ebby Ripper. Fourth across the line.
Yeah, for the first time in ages, she didn't lead, but when she put on the afterburners in the back straight on the second occasion, the roar from the crowd was deafening. Fanta Bale's 41-98 win, making her only the third greyhound to pass the $1 million prize money mark. And her trainer, Robert Britton, is on the line. Congrats, mate. That had to be one of the gutsiest wins of her career.
Yeah, it certainly was. Thanks, Dave. She had to do it upside down a little bit. You know, like for the last 6 or 7 starts, she's been able to lead. And this week, she got shuffled back a little bit early. So, look, she bided her time, really, waiting for the run to come. And when the run came, she took it. So it was really pleasing.
Yeah, it's just amazing to hear the roar coming from the crowd. Her earnings are now $1,094,000, third on the all-time list behind Fernando Bale and Dinah Double One. Look, I know you were playing down the $1 million mark, Rob, but surely it must have taken some pressure off.
Oh, it has, because simply it's like a batsman in the nervous 90s, I think. You're sort of glad when it gets there, but in reality, all our achievements along the way have been the most important thing, I guess, and that's what we look at. And it's always, you know, just wonderful to win a race and or run your best even. And even when she doesn't win, she's always a dog that runs her best. So we can't be happier than that.
Yeah, I'm sure she inspired Steve Smith, the Aussie cricket captain. He was in the 90s for ages, and he got to the 100, inspired Australia. They're about to win, and the Barmy Army haven't heard from them. Now, Rob, Fanta Bale's now won 7 Group 1 races and has won at the highest level over the 5, 6 and the 700 metres. You've trained plenty of top liners. How does she rate?
Look, she's, you know, look, if you're just rating race dogs, she's easily the best race dog I've ever had, in that she's just a machine. She does everything right. It's like, as I said, she jumps a box really well, but even when things didn't go away on Friday night, she just knew how to play the race and wait for the gap to come. There's not many dogs that have got these sort of habits that just know when to do the right thing. And I think that's something you can't train. It's something that's just built into her. And I guess my job really is to get her to the track, because she knows what she's doing when she gets there. But as far as I've had faster dogs, I've said that over 500 and 700. But I've never had a dog that has a will to win and just does everything right like she does.
Well, she'll be 3.5 in February. How much longer is she going to keep racing?
No idea, Dave. I'll have to talk to Paul Wheeler about that. She's at the moment, she's injury free. She hasn't had any injuries in her life, really. I would say while she's injury-free, I'd like to think she'll keep racing, but I'll certainly talk to Paul about that.
Yeah, congratulations to Paul Wheeler and the entire Wheeler family on the win of Fanta Bale in the Bold Trees. Is she going to head to Sydney this Saturday night for the heats of the Summer Cup at Wentworth Park, Rob?
Yeah, I've nommed her. She seems to have pulled up really well, and so I've nommed her for next Saturday night. And she raced well at Sydney last time we were there, so I thought, well, you know, there's no reason not to give it a go.
Now, Rob, you've had a great weekend. You trained a treble at Sandown, back at Sandown yesterday, and you also had success on Cup Night with the old boy, Bruce Tycoon. His reception from the crowd was almost as big as Fanta Bale's.
Yeah, Bruce has got a bit of a fan club down here, I can tell you, because I think it's because he's been around so long. But, no, he's a wonderful dog, because he's had 120 starts, and he's around about 4.5 years old, and I think people appreciate that he can still run at the top level and win free for all races at that age. And they don't come along very often, so I think people appreciate what he does.
Now, Rob, I believe you're about to head back to the US. You only just returned from there recently. I know you've got a stack of pups over there, and you're heading back over to the Yellow Brick Road in Kansas.
Yeah, look, I'm just going over for a few days, Dave, to keep things in order. I make a number of trips there now, but usually they're fairly brief. And the weather over there, I think, is about minus something today, so it'll be very brief, I think.
Yeah, the Yellow Brick Road will be a bit frosty, but anyway. Yeah. Well, Rob, congratulations again. Thanks for all the time that you've given us over the year, and have yourself a Merry Christmas in advance, and thanks for being on Going Greyhounds.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate it, Dave. Thank you.
Good on you, Rob. Robbie Britton, what a trainer he is. Well, we swing back to Sydney, and yesterday in the Harbour City, the Richmond Race Club at Londonderry was the centre of greyhound attention with the 2017 Richmond Riches Puppy Auction. It was a huge success. We'll get the full figures in a second. I believe over $500,000 changed hands for the pups, which went under the hammer. And the Richmond club boss, Brad Adam, is on the line. Brad, congratulations on all your efforts. It's a wonderful day.
Thank you, Dave. Yes, it certainly was. Huge team effort out here at the Richmond Race Club. But, it all came together yesterday. The sun shone. Good crowd came in. Bar sales were up, which then obviously led to puppy auction sales went through the roof, Dave. And we turned over $518,000 worth of pup sales went through the auction, which is just outstanding.
Yes, most of the pups obviously were sold.
Yes, Dave, look, there was probably one or two that were passed in. In total, we did 90 lots. We had a couple of withdrawals on the day, which was always to be expected, but we did 90 lots, as I said, at a total of 518,000, which, Dave, puts the average pup sale up to $5,700 per pup on average, which eclipses our previous records. And obviously, and shows, Dave, that the industry is alive and well. People have got faith in the industry. They're willing to invest back into the industry. And I think this is a real big shot in the arm that we needed to say that we're here and we're staying here. And I just couldn't be happier with the success that we had yesterday.
Well, one of the top lots, I believe, are the one by Dinah Double One from Clockwise, a dog. I did have some people out there bidding, but I got outbid in the end. I think it went for about $14,000, Georgie Kayrouse's dog.
Yeah, that's right, Dave. You had to dig deep. $14,000 was one of them. One of the dogs went for $14,000, and then one other one went for $10,000. And Dean Swain, very astute trainer, now based in Sydney, picked those two up. So obviously he can see that those breeding lines are going to give him what he needs. And then Dave, there was a whole range of other pups that went, you know, between that $8,000 and $12,000 mark. So as I said, it was really really strong bidding. I think the condensed auction that we had, albeit, you know, yes, we would have liked more pups, but I think the 100 pups that we set ourselves to have made the day a short day. We were able to retain our audience for that three and a half hours, which made the bidding so competitive.
Well, man, all those pups sold are eligible for the 2019 Richmond Riches Puppy Classic.
That's absolutely right, Dave. So the club has set down a $50,000 prize pool. But what we always said was that within 14 days of the auction, if the sale exceeded or failed our expectations, then we would look at that. And I gather you can tell from the joy in my voice that I'll sit down with the Richmond Race Club board in the next days. And I'm pretty confident, Dave, that we'll be able to add to that prize pool for the 2019 race series. So, but yeah, look, an overall outstanding success. Huge crowd came in, as I said, Dave. And you know, everybody was in a jubilant mood, and that came through with the bidding.
Well, Brad, you worked so hard at Richmond, you and your staff. Hats off to you, mate. You really put in. You came in and joined us at a very busy time in the studio for the catching pen. So congratulations to you and your staff. Very, very outstanding success, the Richmond Riches auction. And congratulations again, Brad, and I appreciate you joining
Thank
us.
You. Thanks, Dave. Yeah, look, obviously, I know you've said it, and we have, but it's a huge team effort. Volunteers, everybody chucked in behind the scenes to help. The setup, everything. It's a huge team, and yeah, it's congratulations to everybody. And as I said, the success was obviously at the end of the day when... in the figures. So, yeah. So thank you. And thank you to Sky Racing and for the support of it. So, thank you.
Good on you, Brad. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Dave. All the best.
Brad Adam, the general manager of the Richmond Greyhound Club. Congratulations. Wow. What a fantastic day yesterday. Well, today in Canberra is a very, very important day. There's a big rally to protest the ACT government's decision to ban greyhound racing there from the 1st of May next year. Still beggars belief. Obviously, it's politics, the way politics is played. The ACT Labor government, completely different to the Labor government in New South Wales, but they needed the support of the Greens to win the election. And one of the trade-offs was that they would get rid of greyhound racing. Now, people are gathering right now at the ACT Greyhound Club in Narrabundi before the protest begins at London Circuit in the centre of Canberra at midday. And spokesman Kel Watt joins us now. Kel, not long now until it begins, and you're expecting a big roll-up.
Yeah, we are. The weather gods look like they're frowning on us a little bit earlier today. But as luck would have it, the rain has stopped, and I'm hoping that will, you know, a few people that were 50-50 about coming, it'll nudge them there. Look, the fact is, we've got to be a little bit tougher than rain. We've got to be prepared to stand in the wet, if need be, for a few minutes and make sure our voices are heard. Because as you said, we've done nothing wrong. We've been traded off purely for political purposes, and we've got to send a very clear signal to politicians that we're not going to stand for it.
Well, Kel, the major political parties were given another clear message in Queensland about the public's dissatisfaction with them at the weekend. Are you also using this to send a clear message to the ACT government and their little mates?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Look, it was a minority government result last time. And, you know, the Labor Party, which has been so strong in supporting racing in the past in the ACT, and we've seen how strong they were in New South Wales and Victoria quite recently with Daniel Andrews getting behind the industry. We need to show them that if they leave their core principles behind, you know, the Labor Party is supposed to be the party of workers and working people. And if they're going to simply jettison that for the sake of one green vote to give them government and take on their radical agenda, then of course people are going to leave them in droves. That's why people are so disillusioned.
Kel, you've got some excellent guest speakers at the rally at London Circuit from midday.
We do. It's a genuine bipartisan. You know, I was talking about the Labor and Greens doing us in here, but to be honest, a majority of the Labor government members are actually supportive of the industry. This is being driven by Shane Rattenbury, the Greens leader, and Andrew Barr, the Chief Minister. Now, even when he was racing minister, he's never been to the Greyhound track, and his office is about 8-10 minutes drive if he gets a bad set of lights. So he's got no excuse for the 11 years he's been in the Assembly to have never touched base with us. So we've got grassroots Labor Party members. We've got the Liberal opposition leader, Alistair Cohen, the Liberal Shadow Minister, Mark Parton, who's been incredibly supportive. Daniel Walton, who's the National and New South Wales Secretary of the Australian Workers Union. So he's a very influential figure within New South Wales and federal Labor circles. He'll be speaking. And we're also going to have representatives of the industry, the Australian Veterinary Association, different community groups, and as well as, of course, the staff and participants. So we cover all sides of the industry and genuine support from the community, as well as both sides of politics. So this should send a clear signal to ACT Labor Chief Minister Andrew Barr that he should dump the Greens' radical policy and actually get on board with his rank and file and union membership and back us.
Kel, we must emphasise it's a peaceful rally today. Any untoward behaviour will be seized upon and reported upon ahead of the proper course. So we're asking all participants, I know you are, to do the right thing at London Circuit today.
Oh, absolutely. Look, zero tolerance. I understand, as you know, as do you, Dave, as do every listener, that you know, the deep sense of frustration and even anger some people would have. But we've been so disciplined so far, we need to maintain that discipline today. So look, these crazies that, you know, are threatening to turn up and disrupt the rally, what they want you to do is make sure that the media images tonight and tomorrow's newspaper and tonight's TV aren't about us looking for a voice and sending a clear message to the government. What they want is somebody to just have that moment of frustration and to poke somebody's finger in the, to poke their finger in somebody's chest, or to swear or curse someone, or, you know, potentially even worse. That then becomes the news story. So we don't look like people that have, you know, been hard done by. We look like riffraff, and our opponents actually get a win out of that. So, you know, let the cops do their job, let the security guards do their job, and we focus on ours, which is making sure our voices are heard to end this ban.
Yeah, hear, hear. There's plenty of professional political protesters, and the people who are going to the rally today, they're people who want to protect the industry, protect their jobs. They're not people who turn up at every single protest there is. And these professional protesters, they know how to provoke. So it's, as you say, Kel, it's very, very important that it's a peaceful protest, no trouble.
Oh, absolutely. That becomes the major story. Look, I don't think it's going to surprise anybody to say that the industry's had an image problem from time to time. And it's not necessarily because of the things we've done. It's because our opponents have been very vocal. They like to push a whole bunch of lies about the behaviour of participants and what they are involved in and how they get treated. And I've got to tell you, like, we've had a couple of people out here last week. They got taken away by the police. They were, you know, causing trouble and trying to elicit that response. So the Canberra Club members and participants were very careful that day, that are sat back and let her do a thing, and the cops turned up and dragged her away. And that was a good result. She, you know, she ended up looking like the goose. We have to make sure we're disciplined, get the clear message to the government that this is an industry that's got an unblemished record. They're unnecessarily putting 50 people out of work. They're trading off all those jobs just to secure their own for a Radical Greens agenda, and the community doesn't support it, and we're going to fight right to our last breath and our last cent, even if it ends up in High Court.
Well, Kel, all the best with today's protest rally. James Vandermaat and I will get you on the catching pen tomorrow evening on Sky Racing 2 for a complete report.
Fantastic, mate. Looking forward to it. And as everybody should know by now, it's starting at midday. So if you're within a radius of about 80 kilometres, you can still comfortably make it, guys. Don't leave it to someone else. Get there and make sure we have our voices heard, and that we overturn this ridiculous ban and save the ACT industry, because if they're prepared to do it to us, we don't know what the next domino is that's going to be falling.
Kel Watt, thank you for joining us on Going Greyhounds.
Thanks, Dave. Cheers, mate.
Our final guest on the show today is from the Sunshine State. Trainer Tony Appap joins us now after his chaser Outside Pass took out the Group 3 Ipswich Gold Cup on Saturday night. Tony, good morning to you. It was her first win at group level at her 12th attempt. Finally, the monkey's off her back.
Yeah, Dave, it was an unbelievable feeling after all the kilometres we've done and travelled. And now it's finally cracked one, Dave.
Yeah, well, she's been placed in the Winter Cup in Brizzy, the Shootout and the Speed Star in Melbourne. She's been a Melbourne Cup finalist. And in Saturday night's win, she had to do it the hard way, Tony, from box 8, the same box that she jumped from in the heats. But she was trapped wide and copped an early bump and so had to cover a lot of extra ground.
Oh, yeah, Dave. I mean, yeah, Ipswich is a track that it's a bit hard to get caught wide there because the track's not sort of banked and they can lose the compass pretty easy with a little bump there. But no, she loves it there, Dave. She loves Ipswich, and it was an enormous run. She's always had the motor, Dave. She's always had the ability, but she's been very, very unlucky in finals, whether it was box draws or getting knocked out. She's just been one of them greyhounds. So frustrating to see her so unlucky. So Saturday night was just such a relief. Yeah.
Well, her time of 30:22 was outstanding. She's over 4 years of age, but she's still loving her racing.
Oh, that's it. She loves the racing. She knows when it's race day, and she just gets all worked up. And they know, Dave. And yeah, exactly. She loves racing, and she's 4 and 3 months, I think, and she's running as best as ever, Dave.
Well, Tony, the heats of the Group 1 Brisbane Cup are on this Thursday night at Albion Park. Are you going to take her there?
Yeah, Dave, yeah, you have to have a crack at it. She goes well at all, or she goes well anywhere, really. But, yeah, she's gone 29.61 there a couple of times. And yeah, I just had a look at her now, went over an hour, and there's nothing wrong with her at all. So she's definitely going Thursday night, Dave, yeah.
You beauty. Well, I'll be on track on Thursday week, so hopefully she'll be there and I'll see you, Tony. But as always, thanks for your time and congratulations again on winning the Ipswich Gold Cup.
Thanks a lot, Dave. Thank you.
Great bloke. Tony Appap there. Before I go, congratulations to Jodie Lord, who trained the winner of last week's Goulburn Cup final. Champion model, the daughter of high earner and clay model, owned by Clay Mullins, clocking 24-60 in her 2.25 length win. And good luck to all the participants this afternoon at Bathurst. Six heats of the Soldier's Saddle are going to be run and won. Well, Sean, that's it for Going Greyhounds. Madison standing by with the latest news. But the Catching Pen tomorrow night, 6:30, James Vandermart and myself, Sky Racing 2. And as the big bloke who talks about motor racing says, be there!